Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Beamer Distributors Blog Talk Show. This is your show. It's designed for all Beamer distributors across the country to provide you with the latest information, training, and current events. It's a live, interactive show where we value your participation. Just hit one on your phone and we'll open your line so you can ask questions and share information and testimonials. You'll hear from individuals who are experiencing amazing results in their business and with the use of their Beamer. But remember, this information of Beamer technology is not designed to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or ailment. These testimonials have not been evaluated or reviewed by the FDA. This call is for education only, and no medical or income claims are intended. This call is not put on by Beamer USA. It's just us, a group of independent Beamer distributors all helping one another. So grab a pen and paper, listen carefully, and get ready to learn and share. Stay tuned. The show is about to begin.
Good morning, Beamer family. This is David Olson calling from my home here in Idaho. I'm co-hosting today with Lisa Diamond, of course. We have a really great show ahead of us, and I'm going to bring Lisa on in a moment to introduce our very special guest. But first, some announcements. Of course, we got our Monday newsletter. Understand that the Pace Setter contest ends this month. It will continue going for all new distributors, and they'll have even all the way to December 31st. Anybody who gets involved on that day will have 60 days to gather 5,000 Beamer points in sharing Beamers, and we'll earn $1,000 bonus and the Pacesetter jacket. Beamer North America has been generous as well to extend the $144 distributor fee all the way till the end of this calendar year. We have a really great online convention coming up on September 11th and 12th. The cost is $50. Beamer is investing a couple $100,000 in this online event to make sure it is world-class, and we have some really great things happening that day or those 2 days. We've got a medical panel we'll be hearing from. Of course, our keynote speaker is Kendra Hill. We're going to be doing giveaways, so we encourage everybody to definitely sign up and participate. It's going to be a great couple of days of education. And tonight, we are going to have the equine presentation. So this is a product presentation on BeamerMeetings.com. Starts at 6:30 Mountain Time, I do believe. Last week, we had an equine presentation. It was more business-oriented, and tonight is definitely more product-oriented. Next week, on the 19th, we have our national sales call, and that's on BeamerMeetings.com as well, and I believe it starts at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Lisa will correct me if I'm mistaken. We have online academies coming up, of course. The one that Bettina and Nora and myself are hosting, it's already sold out. That's August 28th and 29th, but we have more coming up in September, and, of course, we want our new distributors to have priority in getting involved and getting their certificate. So beyond that, we have the online presentations taking place every Tuesday and Thursday. Of course, Tuesday night is just a product presentation, normal product presentation. Wednesday with Casey Conrad is Beamer in 20 minutes. And then, of course, we have the lunch and learn, which is a little bit more business-oriented on Thursdays. And the I Decide video format, we do have the new Equine I Decide video is now available, and of course the new 8-minute story is up and running on life.beamergroup.com/8-minute story. So super excited. Lisa had a great idea to hear from a very special person in our lives, and Lisa, please come on board here and bring on our guest.
Thank you, David. Thank you, everybody. Happy Wednesday. So this is going to be a lot of fun, and I want to introduce our CEO, Albert Boss, and a little bit of background for those who are on who don't know. Albert made his grand debut to Beamer during our managers meeting in Austin, Texas last year in September of 2019. And came in like a storm and just super exciting and lots of great ideas and goals for Beamer and carrying us forward. Albert comes to us from another consumer health and wellness company called It Works. But prior to that, he was 20 years with Tupperware Brands International, where he was held different positions, but president, managing director roles in several divisions and business lines there. He has had responsibility all over the world, so global leadership everywhere, U.S., Canada, Latin America, Asia. And, you know, I was sitting around one evening and went, what are we going to do for Wednesday's show? I think I'm going to just send Albert a message and see if he'll come on. And he has been gracious enough to do so. So, Albert, welcome to your first ever Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks, Lisa and David. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Well, thank you. So you know that all distributors have some sort of Beamer story that we share. And it's part of what we do as distributors to share and spread the word of Beamer. So can you share with us your Beamer story?
Absolutely. Well, I'm guessing it's, you know, we're talking about my B story, as I like to refer to it lovingly, since everything of ours is starts with a B. And assuming that that's, you know, kind of the ask, I mean, I've got kind of two fun B stories. I think almost like an M series BMW, I went from 0 to 60 in under 8 seconds. We call it 8 minutes, but for tongue in cheek, I'll say 8 seconds, because truth be told, you know, after 25 years in the global direct selling arena and in leadership roles, I had never heard of Beamer. And then, you know, that was kind of like a shock to me when I was first introduced to it through some recruiters. And in one interview with Peter Gleim and Robert Mole, you know, in a couple 8-minute sessions, I was sold. So I used to, you know, suffer from soreness and lower back and some different discomforts in my wrists. And a lot of it came to posture and just a lot of hours at a desk. And with twice daily use, I began within literally 2 weeks to feel a release of tension and a flexibility that I hadn't felt in years. And I'm an avid runner and a sports enthusiast, as I was telling David before we started. And, you know, I literally have seen improvements in both my performance, but more important in my recovery time. You know, at my age, which now I've broken the 50 mark, you know, recovery doesn't come. We think we're a lot younger than we are. When I get on the court, I tend to go all out, and I've seen a complete difference in my ability to recover from a tough workout on the court or a long run. So I'm a believer. I can't believe that I didn't know that Beamer existed, and so I'm really passionate about sharing that story and that vision with the world.
Yeah. So your story is really not unlike the rest of us who didn't know what Beamer was, and obviously that's our mission now. David, mm-hmm. Did you have a question?
So, Albert, what do you feel is the biggest strength or strengths of our company right now?
You know, I guess you could say I'm still in a discovery phase. I tend to believe that, you know, in your first year, in any assignment that I take, my first year is always I'm green, I'm listening, I'm learning, I'm really observant, trying to figure things out. Even though, as Lisa said, I came out of the gates running hard, I come to some pretty quick kind of conclusions or sensitive. You know, I tend to have a good feeling for the operating landscape when I enter, And now I'm kind of testing some of those things and adjusting them. But in this first year for me right now, it's about culture, belief, and passion. I see that in our distributors. I think that that clearly is what makes Beamer and in my experience, most companies. You know, we all have a decent product. We all have a system of distribution. We all have a lot of things that might be part of our DNA. But when it comes to culture, when it comes to the belief, and then when it comes to the distributors that you have manage to attract. That's, to me, the staying power and what defines a company. And here at Beamer, I would say that, you know, we have that, and we proved that. To me, that was proven through the adversity of being for 5 months almost in an FDA standstill. And yet, instead of having that bring us down and having that risk the longevity of our business, we continued to enroll new IBDs in this five-month period, and we managed to come out within a 45-day window and sell 300% more than we had ever sold historically in any given month, any market of the world. And now we're, you know, we're paying a little bit of the consequences of that with inventory and trying to catch up. But I can tell you this is definitely a much better challenge to have than the one we had with the FDA. So, you know, I'd come back around to your question and say it's in culture, it's in belief, and it's in the passion of the distributor force that is the livelihood of the company. I think that right now is clearly what our biggest strengths are.
So, Albert, with that said, how does the Beamer culture, because some distributors in this company have obviously been with other companies, how is the culture, how do you see the culture of Beamer different from the other companies that you have led?
You know, it's I think it's in the heart. I've found that it was already obviously here before I got here, the saying and the heart award. But Beamer distributors are they're heart centered, and they're purpose driven. It's clear to me that they believe in the healing power of our product and of our technology. They from a holistic perspective, they really believe in our mission and the mission to enhance people's overall health and wellness through improved circulation and obviously healthy blood flow, but even more so in the opportunity we provide. So I think that our culture in the office and in the field is driven by the fact that that we're heart-centered, we're purpose-driven, and that we clearly understand that what we do matters. And for that, I think that that makes our culture really unique. And I think, again, going back to the last question, it was our strength and is what's kept us together through these 5 months of adversity as we came out of this FDA hold and as we still work towards bringing back normalcy after COVID or through this COVID stage and even with what's going to happen with the applicators as we move forward with the FDA.
So, Albert, we have what I think, I mean, from my background in the corporate world, you know, having independent business distributors fulfilling roles such as the national director role that Chris and George Veronis fulfill, and then, of course, the various regional directors. Do you find that really unique? I mean, having independent business distributors fulfilling roles like that, and do you think that structure helps sustain us through this COVID crisis and our FDA situation?
Well, I can tell you this is probably one of the more polarizing discussions that I've had with top leaders in the business. And I think hands down, I'm going to answer that straight out. Hands down, it's our unifying strength and the source of confidence, especially during these tough times that's kept us together. You know, when you're in the people business, because we're sometimes we get lost in are we transactional or are we transformational? And I believe businesses that stick, that are of an infinite mindset, to quote the book that that recently was put out by Simon Sinek. You know, businesses that are long term, they're here for the long term. You know, they're people oriented business, and people want to do business with people they trust. And I think that I think it was Jim Rohn who said, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, I think is the quote. And our regionals care. They care about our distributor success. And the sales structure serves to connect the field with the home office, right? And I haven't seen this quite the same way in any of my other prior businesses. And the regional directors understand the field because they are the field. They've walked in your shoes, and this business is in their DNA. So in past companies, sales was comprised of what I would lovingly call corporate suits. They were, and I was one of them at one point. I was a regional director at Tupperware. I ran the what we called the powerful Pacific in the West, and ran five states on the West Coast. And, you know, I came from a boardroom, from PowerPoints, from kind of hiding behind the desk or the podium, and I was launched into the field. And that really was what transformed me from being, you know, kind of an MBA suit that thought he understood sales to really understand it from a field's perspective and through a distributor's eyes. So from that prior experience that our regional directors have and still have, because they still have active businesses, they help connect the head office with the field, and they create that pulse and that heart and that connectivity. So I think our sales structure is unique indeed. It's unique in the industry. It's questioned and challenged by some of our top leaders. But I believe that our shared belief system for Beamer and the knowledge that the knowledge and the background that each of our regional directors bring to the table with the guidance of the Varonis team, which is really a tremendous team between the two of them. They fulfilled that vision that Peter Gleim had of putting this in place. And for right now, I think it's clearly what's helped us through the COVID. And I think it's, again, it's another asset and a unique differentiator that we have in our business. And I'm hands down a big supporter of it right now.
I do as well, Albert. I was a national sales director in the corporate part of the ski and outdoor industry. And as much as I tried to be in the field with my sales teams, I wasn't an independent rep. I was in-house. And as much as I tried to have empathy for what they face in the marketplace, I couldn't, because I just didn't come from that world. And so I find this really unique and a great advantage for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Albert, as distributors, we not everybody does this full-time. Some are just part-time. Some are just sharing with family and friends. But obviously, we had to make some shifts and pivots through the whole FDA and COVID situation, which, you know, we're obviously still dealing with the COVID situation, depending on what area of the country people are in and how they're able to share. So a lot of people had to learn what Zoom was and then how to use it. And then obviously we had to shift and pivot on our product. And what, which I'm sure your pivots and shifts were probably tremendous, but as the CEO, what were your biggest shifts and pivots that you had to make?
Well, we've obviously had a lot of shifts and pivots. I mean, all of us as humans and you know, parents, you know, partners, as business leaders, it has been an endless tango, I like to call it, because my wife had me dance a tango when we got married, and I learned and appreciated the difference, the subtle difference between pivoting in a tango and not stepping on your partner's toes and making it graceful. So we've tried to do that. I mean, navigating the FDA situation has required us to pivot, and it's definitely been tough. I mean, I think the first pivot we had to make as a team was our obsession to stay in class one. So, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing at, you know, that this is obviously something that the company is at fault for. And, you know, I don't tend to look to place blame. I tend to understand that at the time we had leaders that felt that maybe we would, people don't know a lot of the history, but the story goes that we were under a lot of pressure by one of our competitors. And we felt, the leadership at the time felt that by becoming a class two medical clear device, that we would have benefits that would separate us from the pack, from the herd. And so that's why we applied back in 2015 for a class two cleared position with the FDA. Then when it came back that some of our applicators hadn't made it through the approval process, then I think we got cold feet and we decided to kind of take a dormant position on that. Well, what we maybe didn't appreciate is that with the FDA, you can't take back your words. You can't take back your requests. Once you've processed for class two and been cleared, there's kind of no, it's a no return. So by just staying dormant, which we did, I mean, we had no issue until the beginning of 2019. We didn't know this would come back and rear its ugly head. So once it did, then, we had to overcome our obsession with class one, and we had to fully embrace and present ourselves as class two ready. And that took some time, and that became a little bit of a misunderstanding with the FDA. I think because we were pushing harder to stay in class one than to fully embrace class two, it created a bit of a polarization with the FDA's discussions, and that's what kind of extended our discussions. But once we got through that, we also began to shift from beyond the coils and beyond the applicators to reposition ourselves with this incredibly creative ghost story, which, again, we did together with the regional director team in this office. In March of this year, we were together. You know, the Simsbys were talking about Go as a neat story. The team, the regional team, put together some thoughts. Brad Horn put a backpack on the table. And before you knew it, as a collective team, we identified the need to come up with a new story and the absence of some of our applicators. And suddenly it's like, well, let's make this work because we're leaders that are focused on solutions. So far, it's proven to have been well received and embraced, and then we saw that in the order, and now we're trying desperately to accelerate our relationships with our supply chain partners to be more responsive, and there we're pivoting, forcing them to pivot as well, so that we can meet the elevated demand of the field. So I think that was one case, and as for COVID, to just state the another big obvious need to be resourceful. It was clear that the company had to quarantine. So I believe, my team moved to send all of our staff home and set up our offices in tow and never missed a beat. We did this back in March. And to this day, with exception of our warehousing staff, we all continue to work from home, and we've shifted to meeting, to team building, and to effectively managing the business from a home office, from a dining room table, with barking dogs, with kids that aren't in school. It's not ideal. It's not ideal. It's not by design. But I think we've shifted, we've pivoted, we've adapted to make the best of it. So I think, like you all, we've done what we can as a company, and we will continue because this is ongoing. COVID is by no means going away. It's not getting better necessarily. It continues to be a challenge and a mystery that we've got to work through. And it's disruptive to our lives, to business. And at the same time, the FDA situation, until we can resolve next steps, what happens with the B body, what happens with the B sit, what happens with the B light, how do we innovate, and what will they allow us to do under class two? We definitely have to pivot, to shimmy, to shift, and to do whatever it takes to continually outsmart and reinvent ourselves. But we're solution-oriented, and we will continue to do it, hopefully gracefully, like the tango that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and I know one of those shifts that had to be handled from the corporate office was, letting go of some of the staff. And, that was before we knew how many Beamer units were going to be sold, when we got the product, got the go-ahead. So I know one of the things you're working on now is beefing that back up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But, it's also interesting because it's like a wave. I just started surfing because you can't live in California on the coast and not surf. So I've picked up surfing now as my 2020 bucket list item. And, you watch the ocean and it's flat, and then all of a sudden you see this wave begin to form and to crest, and then it just comes down hard on you, and you're either in it and riding it, or it's overwhelming you. And so a little bit of what just happened to us, to use that analogy, is the same with product demand in our supply chain, and then with our customer service staffing. So, we went from shipping 30 orders a day to shipping 300 orders a day. And so that'll outstrip the warehouse. I mean, even if, you know, we had cut our warehouse staffing in half, even if we had cut some of our people from customer service or product support, the fact that we received pallets of RMAs because we weren't able to receive any RMAs or return merchandise during almost 2 months of COVID and having our warehouse closed, the fact that we, you know, suddenly had to ship out thousands of orders in a couple of days, the fact that we had to get, you know, hundreds of tickets and hundreds of calls at once, even if we had had the same staffing levels, what I can tell you is that we wouldn't have been able to manage the disruption. But yes, Lisa, you know, we're trying to staff up accordingly, but not overstaff. You know, as I look now, I've got a panel in my office that I can see daily. You know, I can see now, you know, our staffing ratios, our call wait times. You know, we've got two calls in queue right now. We only have a 2.5 minute wait today in customer service on the phones in the queue. So things have normalized. We're now going to be working in waves. And unfortunately, not only are we finding the right balance of staffing, but we're also through this. We've become much better at how we manage and process all of our growth, if you will, in a moment of orders, tickets, RMAs. So I think all of this will make us better and more adapt as we move forward to fluxes in our business.
So Albert, you kind of answered this next question I was going to ask you. So I will move on to something about surfing. Have you experienced your chin getting buried into the sand and having your body kind of bent backwards so that the back of your head almost hits your spine? Have you had that happen yet?
No, I have not. So I'm either not on big enough waves, David, or I'm definitely not in the shallow waters that you're in. So
it's amazing how little of a wave can do that to you. Yeah. It's like a chiropractic adjustment.
So far, knock on wood, I've managed to not have any scrapes on the bottom. So we'll see. I'll hope to avoid that. But for right now, no back bend the way you just described them.
So
that's awesome. Well, speaking of back bends and.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure a typical day of the CEO of Beamer is not usually down in the warehouse with the sleeves rolled up. So tell us what that felt like, having all of those go units in the warehouse and getting them out as fast as possible.
Well, I've cloned the word Beamerific, right? And I've got my cowbell right here for you. So that's what that feels like. It's Beamerific, and it's my new cowbell moments, which that we have around here. But it's happiness, right? I mean, at the end of the day, our distributors' pain is our pain. Without sales, any business is clearly in trouble. So, you know, knowing from our end that we're providing income and opportunity for individuals and their families, when we disrupt this, it's not easy to bear or to shoulder. So for me, when we were down there, signing boxes, for me, it's almost like right now it's a yin and yang. I mean, when the warehouse is empty, it's painful, right? And now my office is sitting right next to one of the docks of the warehouse, and my greatest satisfaction during the day is watching when Unitrans, our trucks from our warehousing company, coming back in, and they're dropping off pallets, and I go down and I watch with joy as we're unloading. Today we unloaded about 18 pallets of Beamer, so we're getting ready for that first wave that we had said would come after the 12th. And then, you know, then the next thing I love to go down and watch is as Drew and his team in the warehouse start loading pallets into UPS trucks. I mean, it used to be that our UPS truck has this little backup chime. So it's like ding, 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 and it's backing into the warehouse. So I always know the UPS truck is here. And then I'll go down with Drew and I'll watch them load pallets. And at this point, those satisfactions to me, the pallets arriving and then the pallets being shipped, are really the that kind of moment of saying, okay, this is worth it, and we're making progress. So it's tough. It's tough to watch the disruption, and at the same time, for right now, we are keeping our head down and rolling up our sleeves, as you said, Lisa, and just doing whatever it takes to help the team down there get through this as quickly as possible so that we can end up with excess inventory in our warehouse and be able to have you all have the confidence that we will get beyond this disruption of product servicing.
So, Albert, the dock is busy right now?
The dock is busy. We're in receiving mode now, so we should start shipping tomorrow orders. So, one of the questions that's out there and the updates that you're getting before I even give it to the regionals is where we're at, because that's obviously what everybody wants to hear. So I would say right now we're on par. The first 240 Go sets arrived yesterday. Today. We've got some more arriving. The next 450 will arrive by the middle of the 19th. So by the 21st of the month, we will have shipped out all of our July orders, that were in back order, because we came into August with almost 1,000 orders, open orders that were still pending. And we'll then be able to begin to send out August orders that week of the 21st to the 24th. So we are, we're effectively 3 weeks behind in shipping orders, August orders. And from there, it's a matter of continuing to get more inventory in. It's constant negotiations with Robert through supply chain. It's constant pivoting and shifting with the carriers to get inventory on pallets shipped out here on a weekly basis. And I believe September will be a much easier month for us, but August will continue to be touch and go every single day and every single week as we work through the month of August.
Well, here's a cowbell to the activity on the dock right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
And we got the inside scoop before the regional directors.
Right.
You did. George is hopefully listening, or he's going to cringe when he finds out, but I'll call him right after. So George and Chris are on point with me.
So, Albert, of course, there are certain things that are completely confidential and proprietary to management. However, are there things that you can share with our audience about the area of research and development and anything else that excites you about our future?
Absolutely. Well, I think there are definitely things that are confidential. What's not, and what I really am excited about was, last week I had a meeting with the new head of R&D, and although Liechtenstein is pretty tight-lipped about this part of our business, I am excited that I recently did meet with this gentleman. His name is Robert Richter, R-I-C-H-T-E-R, and so we now have a second Robert that is at the home office with important role. Well, we've got several Roberts, but Robert Richter, he's our new talented head of research and development, and he started in May at headquarters. And Robert comes from BMW, from the BMW group, of which he spent 4 years here in California and over 14 years overall with BMW. And in those 4 years he was here in the U.S., not only did he pick up a bit of he's got great English, but he picked up the American mindset, which is, I think, always helpful to know. But also, he worked on some really cool technology for helmets and augmented vision from what he shared with me. And so I was really impressed with him. He gave an update to myself and a few others of my key direct reports and shared the vision of where we're going with the next gen of products. And from May to now, he's done some incredible legwork on showing me some things. I can't tip my cards on what I saw. I was sworn to secrecy. But I can tell you that you're going to hear a bit more of this from Robert, potentially Robert Mole or potentially Peter Gleim in some of the keynotes at convention. To begin to see, what's in the pipeline, to get a feel for it. Anything related to Beamer technology takes it takes a big monumental effort, approvals in Europe with our class and ISO and some other strong requirements that need to be passed there. The same here now with the FDA. Anything we do, anything that changes, will require class 2 clearance and approvals by the FDA. So nothing's going to happen quickly. But, you know, it all starts with a clear vision. It starts with a research and development team that knows where they're going, that knows what the market needs, that is really looking at the competitive landscape and is taking our technology and our applicators to the next level. And I'm starting to see that in a very tangible way. And I'm excited about that. So stay tuned and make sure that you're at convention. That's all I got to say.
That sounds exciting. It will be fun to have more than one or two products. So that's awesome. So what is it like working for a family-owned business as opposed to a company that has to answer to the stockholders?
You know, it's real and it's refreshing. During my many years in a publicly traded company environment, I felt too many decisions were made favoring first shareholders based on ROI, or what we call return on investment. And like I said earlier, I mean, when you're in this kind of a business, your number one shareholder is your channel of distribution and your consumer, which is, in our case, our distributor, who in many cases is the channel of distribution and the consumer. And they're the ones that reach, you know, the other consumers that use and enjoy our product and join our business. So, you know, after some tough quarters and tightening of belts and budgets in my prior life, it usually meant less budget dollars were allocated to field activities. And this normally directly correlated into less investment in distributors. So, you know, during our FDA and COVID challenges in this family environment, Robert Mole and I, we would meet with the founder, and decisions to invest in our distributors were made, you know, more than $3 million from the family's, we'll say coffers, were reinvested in a moment in which zero sales were taking place in the U.S., the number one market for Beamer globally. You know, no business was coming in, yet we were still obviously in fixed and variable costs that existed, primarily mostly fixed costs of staffing and a building and everything. And yet on top, we were investing in, you know, in leadership bonuses, in investing in sign-up and reduced sign-up fees, investing in not charging, obviously, for renewing IBD yearly renewals in the PaceSetter program. So, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I can turn to Robert Mole and to Peter Gleim and work with requests from the regional director team and continue to show that without a heart and without a pulse from our field, our business would be non-existent. And I think that, to your question of family-owned, that only happens in a family business. It's very difficult for that to happen in a, you know, in a profit and loss-driven ROI shareholder mentality of a publicly traded company. I'm not saying it can't, but in general, it's not nearly the same. So I love this environment. I had the same environment in my last company that I worked at, and that's where I realized I was more suited for this environment and would prefer this moving forward. And here I am, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, so you mentioned Peter Gleim and Robert Mole. So I have to ask, which one's easier to work with?
Well, they're yings and yangs, you know. I guess you could say that working with Peter is, you know, he's a salesman, you know, and so it's the pride, it's the joy, it's the founder, and it's not about operations, it's not about getting in the details, it's more of the big picture, the dream, the heart, the distributors, you know, anything's possible. I would say Robert and I are more, we then have to become more the realists. It's how do we take that vision and execute against it? How do we protect for the long term, you know, finite or infinite, excuse me, vision that we have for the long term of the Beamer business. So I love to work with both. I think it's the balance. It's understanding, you know, the history and the heart and the vision that the founder has for his business, because it's his baby. And at the same time, it's the responsibility that then I feel with Robert Moll to, you know, to put the right people in the right positions, to outline the right strategies, to prioritize projects, and, you know, and to be able to execute on that vision that the founder has.
I can imagine mm-hmm. what it's like being around Peter. We've certainly experienced yeah. that. So that's fun. David?
So, Albert, what two or three books are on your nightstand right now?
Books. Well, that's always a favorite. You know, I have to admit I'm a proclaimed audiobook junkie. After so many years, as Lisa mentioned, I've been blessed to have worked and traveled to many countries around the world. I think in my 25 years of marriage, I've moved my family 13 times. So my wife likes to remind me of that. And normally one of the biggest nightmares in that is photo albums and books, right? Those tend to be those big, huge costs that you got to move around. So although I think it was Jim Rohn that said you could measure a man's wealth by the size of his library, I'm proud to say that I'm more of a Steve Jobs philosophy. The wealth of my library is on my iPhone and in my audiobooks. I have on my, I think you said what's on my nightstand, I have on my nightstand always a John Maxwell book that I've had for years called The Maxwell Daily Reader. And I love that book. Every day it's got a topic that relates to leadership, and I read it. It tends to give me a sense of grounding and focus for the day. And I start my days early, and that tends to be kind of a source of inspiration and thought for the day. But when it comes to my paperless books right now on my desk, I've got a book called The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. He's one of my favorite thought leaders. He's Canadian. He wrote many books, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari and several others. But right now I'm reading The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. For fun, when I run, I've got The Watchers, or I think it's just called Watchers, by Dean Koontz. So I have to balance my passion for growth and learning with some fun. And so I love books by David Baldacci and Sandra Brown, John Grisham, Harlan Coben, you know, any of those I tend to do on weekends. Instead of movies, I tend to like to listen to those books. They transport me to a different place and release my memory and my mind from thinking. And then my other two past books that I read that I highly recommend, one, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, which is quite unique, more on a military approach, but it's a really good book. And then and also about how to be really tough-minded and be a warrior, not a victim, but a warrior of life. And then The Ride of a Lifetime by Robert Iger. He was a CEO from Disney, and I love to read about transformation of big leaders and businesses, you know, and what Roger Iger did for Disney, his acquisitions, what Disney is today versus what it was when he took it over. Yeah, powerful books. You learn from great leaders. You learn from people who have done things, you know, walked in and been in situations that you haven't been in. And I draw a lot of knowledge and insight from those books.
Yeah, I read I do audiobook as well. And the mm-hmm. David Goggins on audiobook is great because in between the chapters, you get the kind of like behind the scenes of what he wrote
yeah.
in the book. Which is kind of cool, which is what we're doing here. You mentioned Ferrari. I heard there was a rumor you were giving one away at the national convention.
Yeah, that's a Veronicism, I will call that, or a Georgism. Like Georges, we'll call it a fishing tail version. But no, we did tease. We like to catch them off guard, and there was an orange Ferrari, I believe, in one of the dream board visions that Devika posted for a review. But Wait, I'm not sure we're going to give it away a Ferrari, but we do have some amazing things lined up at convention. If I can go in that direction more than the Ferrari itself, you will see something related to the Ferrari, but I'll keep that a secret for now. But we're going to have a great lineup. You know, again, talking earlier about pivoting and shifting, you know, we canceled the first one. It was painful. And then I refused to cancel a second one. So we just said, hey, what do we do? Let's go virtual. We've leveraged one of the better vendors of technology in the industry that's doing this right now, that's hot. And we've partnered with them to put together a virtual event, which is going to be really innovative and unique. And to that, we're bringing the best of the best distributor panelists and ambassadors. Keynote, as David mentioned earlier, from an award-winning author, Kendra Hall. She wrote the book Stories That Stick, and you know, we're all about storytelling, so I think she's very appropriate right now. I love her style, the way she engages an audience. We've had a couple conversations, and she knows the Beamer story now. She now knows what we've been through with the FDA, and so she's kind of really looking at helping us with our story and becoming great storytellers about our technology and you know, our product. So I think that alone is worth the registration fee. But then we've also got on September 11th, we've got an education lineup that's just full of knowledge and tips. And that's going to be done by top distributors and facilitated by them and also by our regional directors. And that's guaranteed to elevate your business coming out of the event. And then we've got recognition. You know, we haven't been a good company when it comes to recognition. And you know, people will, I think the saying is people will, you know, they'll fight for money, but they'll die for a cause. And I think, you know, recognition is just that. You know, most of our distributors, they're stay-at-homes, like you said. They run their own businesses. They want to be recognized. They want to feel good. That keeps us motivated. We've done a less than stellar job on recognition as a company. I think our regionals do a good job of that with the uplines, but we haven't built that structure into our organization. So we're looking at introducing a recognition program and then having some post-convention excitement with some go-home challenges that are going to blow the top off our fourth quarter and really take our business to the next level.
Okay, all super exciting stuff. So technically we're out of time, but I have two last questions for you. Super quick. What is your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Well, I have to say it's wine and cooking with my wife. So it's wine, family time, and cooking. I absolutely love that evening time on the weekends because I don't drink Monday to Friday or Monday to Thursday, but weekends, that's where our home is with my wife, in my kitchen and with a glass of wine. And I'd say those are definitely by far my best guilty pleasures.
Awesome. And this last one, what is your, in a short answer, number one goal for Beamer right now?
Short answer is stabilization, right? Right now it's stabilizing our business so you can continue to scale at the level that we're growing. I think that, you know, you've all now done a tremendous job of I don't know if I'd say forgiving us, but of trusting us and moving forward with us through the challenge that we've had with the FDA. And so I want us to put the challenges aside and be able to look you in the eye and say, go, grow, and don't be fearful that we won't have the product to support you with. And only once I can do that with the team that I've put in place, then we can think about new products and we can think about, you know, more promotions and more interesting things. But for now, we've got to stabilize the business and we've got to be able to meet the demand that exists. And that's my number one focus for us.
Well, Albert, thank you so much for being on with us today. We had a record number of people on. You can't see the dashboard, but David and I can. And so I know that the audience appreciates your time, appreciates your leadership through what we're going through. and very excited about the national convention. So thank you for putting that all together as well. David, I'll let you wrap it up.
Oh, Albert, just consider coming and joining us again someday down the road. And let's all get back to work. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks,
absolutely.
Albert.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Dave. You bet.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Today's show is brought to you by an independent group of Beamer distributors who are committed to helping you find success in your business. We're all part of a bigger mission to bring this amazing technology to a market